Give me this water so that I might not have to keep coming back to this well, so that I might not thirst again. So says this Samaritan woman to Jesus when he offers her living water. And she's thinking that he's talking about physical water. You know, this theme of thirsting and yearning is on beautiful display in our readings from today's Mass. You know, we're in year A, and so year A is the year of Matthew. I've talked to you about that before. And if you notice, we've skipped over into the Gospel of John. It's because during the season of Lent, as the catechumens and the candidates are preparing for full communion, the church has special readings during this year A that are particularly for them. But we all get to enjoy and hear these readings that are so important and so powerful for us. You know, this theme of thirst is one that runs throughout the Bible. We see the Israelites that are thirsting for water in the desert there. And we see this woman who comes thirsty to the well. And Jesus who expresses his thirst. You know, some thirst is something that's an elemental part of our life, isn't it? It's one of those basic desires that we can't get away from. You know, think about a time that you were really thirsty. Maybe you came in from working out in the yard. Maybe you were out fishing in the hot sun. Maybe you were engaged in a basketball game or a game of soccer or something like that. Or think about it, you know, when we have a bad cold or something. Or just, you know, these days it seems like I wake up in the middle of the night just parched. So I keep some glass of water there right near the bed. And you know, the more that we're parched, the more thirsty that we are, the more demanding is our thirst. It's something that's got to be quenched, doesn't it? Because it's something that's necessary for us. Water's necessary for our life. So it's something that we all deal with. We must deal with. And especially the thirstier we are, the more parched we are, the more necessary it is for us to deal with it. It's something so demanding on us. Well, just think, that's why this theme is so appropriate for applying to our spiritual life. The Israelites are out there and they said, "We're dying of thirst." They're complaining. They are a thirsty people. And ultimately, they don't thirst just for that physical water. They're thirsting for the presence and the direction of God. They say, "Is God in our midst or not? Is God in our midst or not?" They're thirsting for God. And they question and they test Him. Israel never forgot that they had done this. That's why we hear about it in the psalm. It's talked about in their history. Then we have this woman of Samaria. Now, you know, the Samaritans and the Jews were enemies. That's why we hear the remark that's made that the Jews and the Samaritans shared nothing in common. If a Jew shared something from a Samaritan, they were ritually unclean. That's why when Jesus tells the story about the Good Samaritan, it gets everybody's attention because for them that's an oxymoron. Good and Samaritan didn't go together. Also, what's amazing about this story, now, this is the longest conversation that Jesus has with an individual in all the gospel. In all of the four gospels, the longest conversation Jesus has with one person is this Samaritan woman. Rabbis did not, in the time of Jesus, rabbis did not even talk to their wives in public, much less to a strange woman, much less to a woman who was a known sinner. John doesn't by just happenstance say, note the time that they meet. He says, what? It was about noon. Now, I was always taught and had always read that the reason she was there at noon was because she was ashamed and didn't want to show up when all the other women were at the well. But as I thought about it this weekend, I figured out that she was just practicing social distancing. She was avoiding all the other crowds of people. No, that's not really true. So that's me trying to bring a little levity to this threat hanging over us. She comes there because the other women of the village probably shun her. They probably give her a hard time. And Jesus points this out to her. You know, you've had five men that you've lived with. None of them were your husband. But notice that she goes and she goes, when she goes to tell everyone about Jesus, she said, he's told me everything I ever did. And you definitely get the impression that there's a correlation to that. There's a segue to that. He told me everything I ever did, and yet he showed me compassion and love. He did not condemn me. See, this woman, in a way, represents the whole tradition of human beings thirsting for God. This woman represents us as we come seeking God, thirsting for God, sinful as we are. And notice something really important, a really important lesson of this passage is that she is sent by Jesus back to the village to testify to who he is. He reveals to her. She's the first one that he clearly reveals to her and says, I am he. I am the one. I am the Christ. This sinful woman who is shunned becomes the first one, the first evangelist, the first missionary for Jesus in the Gospel of John. And she's the most effective. The whole village comes out to hear Jesus, to meet him. Jesus, when he first encounters her, says, give me something to drink. And she's stunned. How is it that you, a Jew, is talking to me, a Samaritan, and a woman? And Jesus said, if only you knew the gift of God. How beautiful is that? If only you knew the gift of God. If only we knew, if only we could recognize the gift of God that is offered to us. You know, the heart of the spiritual life is when these two thirsts come together. The thirst of this woman and the thirst of Jesus. Jesus is saying, give me something to drink. Jesus is saying to her, I thirst. Now, Mother Teresa, you know, made this thirst of Jesus one of the themes of her sisters, of her whole religious life. When do we hear Jesus say, I thirst again? On the cross. On Good Friday. We'll hear it again when Jesus says, I thirst. This is what Mother Teresa wrote back in 1993. She said, he thirsts for you. He loves you always, even when you don't feel worthy. When not accepted by others, even by yourself sometimes. He is the one who always accepts you. Mother Teresa continues, "The devil may try to use the hurts of life and sometimes our own mistakes to make you feel it is impossible that Jesus really does love you, is really cleaving to you. This is a danger for all of us, and so sad, because, as she writes, it is completely opposite of what Jesus is really wanting, waiting to tell you. Not only that he loves you, but even more, that he longs for you, that he misses you when you don't come close." So we have this beautiful passage. I encourage you to take this passage and read over it, pray over it, sit with it. You know, these two thirsts come together whenever we celebrate the sacraments, whenever we come together and worship. Our thirst for God and God's thirst for us meet in the sacraments in a special way. Above all, in the sacrament of the Eucharist, but also baptism, confirmation, confession, sacrament of marriage, sacrament of holy orders, sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Those two thirsts come together, our thirst for God and his thirst for us. Jesus thirsts to satisfy our thirst. And our longing to know that God is in our midst, as the Israelites longed for that. That's just a dim reflection of God's yearning for union with us, his thirst for us. That's the beauty of Christianity. God thirsts for us. He wants to give us that living water. May we open our hearts to that today in a very powerful way.